There are 613 commandments in the Old Testament. 613 commandments in the Old Testament. If someone were to ask you which one is the most important, you probably would say, well, I don't know. But you'd probably end up, or at least I think I would, giving one of the Ten Commandments. I mean, the Ten Commandments seem to be the summary, the main ones. And we've talked several times, about several months ago, we tried to get you to memorize the Ten Commandments so you could be able to tell us, not the verses themselves, but just to tell us what the Ten Commandments are. And we learned that the first one is, you shall have no other God before me. The second one is, you shall not make any idols or worship any idols. The third one is, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. The fourth one is, you need to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The fifth one is, you shall honor your father and mother. The sixth one is, you shall not murder. The seventh one is, you shall not commit adultery. The eighth one is, you shall not steal. The ninth one is, you shall not lie. The tenth one is, you shall not covet. So most likely, if somebody had asked me which one is the most important, I would have probably picked the first one. Just automatically done that. Somebody did ask Jesus which one was the most important, and he almost did that. Not exactly, but almost. The first commandment says, you shall have no other God before me. When they asked Jesus which one is the most important commandment, of the 613 that God gave in the Old Testament, which one is the most important? Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And we talked about that commandment last Sunday, that God should be the most important thing in your life. He should be top priority. And we talked about how difficult it is to keep our priorities straight in a practical way. It's not difficult to do it in theory. It's not difficult to just say and really believe God's first in my life. It is difficult for that to make any difference in my life. That if God is really first, it should make a difference in the way I live every day. But then Jesus went on to add, he not only gave the top one, Jesus gave the second one. And he said the second greatest commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. It's very interesting that if you were to go back and look at the Ten Commandments, the first four have your relationship with God. You love God, so therefore God's first. You have no other God before Him. And you do not make any graven images. You don't worship anything else but God. You don't take God's name in vain. And you remember to worship Him. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's the first four of the Ten Commandments. The last six, guess what they got to do with? Your relationship with people. And in one sense, the relationship with God is more difficult because you can't see Him. I can't touch Him. I can't actually go and look Him eyeball to eyeball and talk to Him. So in one sense, that's more difficult. In another sense, it is much easier. Because God is God and He always tells the truth. I can always trust Him. I can always depend upon Him to do what He says He's going to do. And with people, sometimes that's not true. Even though I can see them and communicate with them and deal with them, sometimes people disappoint me. You ever been there? Sometimes they disappoint you. And the ones that's closest to you are the ones who disappoint you the most. So from that perspective, loving God is easier than loving people. Because people have faults. People have weaknesses. But the fact is, Jesus said the most important commandment is, tell me. Jesus said the most important commandment is, love God. And the second most important one is to love your neighbor as yourself. That's in Matthew 22:39. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On one occasion, somebody asked Jesus, but who is my neighbor? The person who lives next door? They asked you, "What? Who is my neighbor? If I'm to love my neighbor as myself." And Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan. And the Samaritan was a hated race of people, and this fellow got beat up, and they robbed him and left him aside to die. And the priest came by, and he just went by on the other side. And so the Levite came by, and he went by on the other side. And a Samaritan stopped and helped him. So from that story, my neighbor is anybody. My neighbor is whoever needs me. And I am to love my neighbor how? As myself. Yeah, you know, I said several weeks ago, I talked about when I did a study of personality types and all that, and different people respond different ways, and different people like different things and all that. And in that study of personalities, we talked about how I should treat people that were choleric, and how I should treat people that sanguine, and how I should treat people as melancholy, and how I should treat people as phlegmatic. And I would treat them differently because they respond differently. Jesus didn't go into all that. He just said, just treat them like you treat yourself. Just treat them like you'd want to be treated. So all I got to do is, when I'm dealing with people, all I got to do is say, if I were in their position, how would I want to be treated? Linda and I shop at Walmart, and I like shopping at Walmart. I'm not advertised for Walmart, but I hate the checkout line. I mean, I can be in the checkout line, and I got four people in front of me, and that one over there, the next checkout line's got one. I switch lanes. Guess what happened? The person behind me walks out, and he's gone. I'm still waiting for that one person to finish. And I just wish somehow we could get out quicker. And I don't like the self-checkout either. That drives me nuts. I never did it. Never did it. I had to call that woman, come over here and help me with something. You know? And so, I don't like the checkout line, but sometimes when I think about, I'm going to love my neighbors myself, and I'm standing in the checkout line, and the lady that's working is carrying on a conversation with this woman she's waiting on instead of doing the job. You know, she's just carrying on a conversation, talking about something they know about. And what I want to say is, lady, talk later. Let's work now. Let's get on with this thing. But as a Christian, what I should do is, how about if I was in her position? If I were the checker at Walmart, how would I want to be treated? I mean, I don't know how long they work, but if they work 8 hours, sometimes you need to just talk a little bit about something else rather than just running those things through there and having to put in those numbers when it don't ring up like it's supposed to and all that stuff. I mean, have some interaction with people. And if somebody you know comes through the line, I don't want to pretend like I don't even know them. So I need to think about, if I were in that person's position, how would I want to be treated? And when I first do that, it seems easy. But then some of the nuts I've run across, it's not easy. It is difficult. It is difficult. Sometimes your co-workers or your boss or somebody at Walmart or somebody in the other car or driving. I used to complain about old drivers, so I became an old driver. Then I drive like an old man. Well, I am an old man. That's the reason I drive like an old man. Linda drives like a maniac. If she's going to work, you better get out of the way. She complains about, somehow or another, that there's a conspiracy against her on the way to work. There are two people that decide they're going to drive the same speed in front of her, and it's not even speed limit, and they're both driving side by side. And so she takes some kind of back way. She goes, and she's telling me, I'm going this way, I'm getting around them. Well, probably takes her longer. But anyway, she didn't have to deal with them. But how should I feel about those people? Those people in their other car that really irritate me. You should love your neighbor as yourself. If I were in their position, if I didn't have anywhere to go and I was just out for a Sunday ride on Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock, how would I want to be treated? By the way, Linda talks to them, and sometimes it seems like they hear her. They do what she says, but I don't think they do most of the time. But I'm supposed to treat other people the way I would like to be treated. I'm supposed to love them as I love myself. 1 John chapter 3 tells if I can know whether I'm a Christian or not. How do I know I'm a Christian? You ever thought about that? How can I know that? Listen to what this scripture says. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. Uh-oh. Am I in trouble? We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So here he compares loving my neighbor as myself to being a what? Murderer. If I don't love my neighbor as myself, then death is in me, not life. So that's how I know I'm a Christian. I know I'm a Christian because I love the brethren. I don't know about you, but that scares me. That's how I know I'm a Christian, because I love them. How about those days that I have trouble loving them? John 13, 34 and 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. How can it be a new commandment? Leviticus 19, 18 says love one another. How can it be a new commandment? Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Here's the part that's new. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. So I'm supposed to love others just like Jesus loved me. We just raised the bar a little bit, didn't we? We were talking about loving our neighbors ourselves. Now we're talking about loving our neighbor as Jesus loved. That's enough to die for him. That raised the bar quite a bit. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. So I can know if I'm a Christian, if I love the brethren. Everybody else will know I'm a Christian if I love other Christians. Everybody else will know I'm a Christian if I love other Christians. It amazes me how we evaluate. I've known Christians who think just because they're smarter than I am, they're more spiritual than I am. Just because they're smarter than I am, they're more spiritual than I am. If I study the scriptures, Jesus revealed himself and dealt with the simple people, didn't he? The ordinary people, not the higher-ups, not the bigwigs, not the know-it-alls, but the just ordinary people. So I can know I'm a Christian if I love my neighbor. Other people will know I'm a Christian if I love other Christians. Luke 6:31 is the golden rule, right? Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. That's all I got to do. Greatest human relationship and principle ever given. Just treat others the way you want to be treated. That's what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. Treat them the way you would like to be treated. Just treat them the way you would like to be treated. 1 Thessalonians 5:15, in my opinion, is the best definition of love in the Bible other than 1 Corinthians 13. We read 1 Corinthians 13 for our devotional time. Love is patient, love is kind, is not jealous, doth not brag, not easily provoked, does not take into account any wrong suffered. That description. This, I think, is the second greatest description of love. Doesn't even have the word love in the verse. Doesn't even have the word love in the verse. It just says, see that no one repays another with evil for evil. Let's stop right there a minute. See that no one repays another with evil for evil. My human sinful nature, if you do something to me, what I want to do? Do something to you. In fact, the truth is, I want to do something to you worse than you did to me. Not equal to. In fact, the Old Testament, we think is a terrible law, what it said, eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But really what it was what it was, so you don't extract more than just justice. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. If a person hurt you this much, he deserves to be hurt that much. But the justice system needs to do it, not you. But it's still an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But he says, make sure that you don't repay evil with evil. Most of us, even though we claim to be Christians, we still kind of like that T-shirt. I don't get mad. Tell me the rest of it. That's right. See? We kind of like that. We look at movies and stuff, and we see the bad guy. We want somebody to get him. I used to look at wrestling. I don't look at wrestling anymore. I always probably thought it was fake, but I used to enjoy it when they wrestle. Now you look at wrestling and they talk about 75% of the time instead of wrestling. I like to see them wrestle, but anyway. So I don't look at wrestling anymore. But the whole deal with wrestling is the bad guy would beat, the bad guy would win, the bad guy would win, the bad guy would win, and then comes some long good guy to beat him up. We loved that. That was great, you know. And we'd like that in movies and all that. We see the bad guy keep winning and keep winning and keep winning, and finally the good guy wins. That's what we like. But the Scripture says, see that no one repays another with evil for evil. That's not your responsibility. Somebody wanted to tell me from another passage whose responsibility is it? Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. It's His department, not ours. And I keep forgetting. I think it's mine. You know, I keep forgetting. I need to get him. If I don't get him, nobody's going to get him. If I don't pay him back, nobody's going to pay him back. No, that's God's department. He'll take care of it. Just leave it up to Him. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. That's basically the definition of agape love. That I'm to seek good for the other person. I am to intentionally, on purpose, seek what is good for them. Does not mean if I love somebody, does not mean I would give them everything I wanted. If I had a teenage child that was hung up on drugs and come to me and asked for money, and I knew he was going to use the money for drugs, if I love him, what would I do? Would I give him the money? Why not? That's not love. Love is to do what's best for them. That's what love is. And I want to tell you, sometimes that's hard. Sometimes that's hard to say, I'm going to have love that's tough enough that I'm going to do what's best for you no matter what. And yet, that's the second greatest commandment. I need to love my neighbor as myself. Let me try to end by just asking you four personal questions. And I don't want you to answer it loud. Sometime when I asked, I want you to answer it loud. Now I don't want you to answer it loud. I just want you to think about it. And what we're trying to do is make application to what we just said. Love your neighbor as yourself. Treat others the way you want to be treated. All that. The first question is, do you know of somebody you should develop a relationship with? Do you know of somebody that you should develop a relationship with? You don't have a relationship now, but you should develop a relationship. You say, Lee, what in the world are you talking about? Who is it that I should develop a relationship with? How about a new neighbor that just moved in your neighborhood? I don't even know my neighbors. The one on each side, we wave. I know one of them's name, don't know the other one's name. Don't know anybody in my neighborhood, just don't know them. Should, Should there be some? Is there somebody in your life you should develop a relationship with? How about this? Most of us has been Christians for a long time. We don't have any non-Christian friends. So when they say we should evangelize, we don't know anybody to evangelize because we don't have any friends that's not Christians. Should I develop a relationship with somebody who's not a Christian with the intent of winning them to Christ? He said, that's kind of underhanded. I don't think so. If I love that person the way I'm supposed to, love your neighbor as yourself, I sure want him to spend eternity in heaven and not hell, right? If I treat him the way I want to be treated, if I was on my way to hell, I'd want somebody to tell me. So developing a relationship with them so I can win them to Christ may be a good thing to do. And yet most of us, including me, don't do that. Don't ever think about that. I don't have any friends that's not Christians. Everything I do is related to church or family, and maybe some of my family is not Christian. But anyway, the fact is, I don't have any. I don't develop that relationship. Maybe I should. The first question was: is there somebody that you should develop a relationship with? The second question: is there a relationship that you should repair? Is there somebody when you pray and ask God? There's somebody that you used to be friends with that you're no longer friends with, and you need to try to fix it. Is there somebody in your life? Don't want you to answer aloud, but I want you to answer inwardly. Is there somebody that you should repair that relationship? Is there a relationship that you should improve? You have a pretty good relationship with them, but it really should be better. Maybe it's your husband or your wife or your kids. Is there somebody you need to develop that relationship? You need to repair it or improve it. There are three questions. How many did I tell you I'm going to ask you? Four. If you've been keeping up, some of you have been sleeping in the whole service, but if you've been keeping up, the last question is going to surprise you. Because I talked about, is there somebody you need to develop a relationship with? Is there somebody you need to repair a relationship that is broken, that's fallen down? Is there somebody you just need to improve the relationship? I got a relationship, but it needs to be better. The last question, is there somebody I need to sever my relationship with? You say, wait a minute, Lee, we were talking about loving our neighbors ourselves. Is there somebody I need to cut off? I'm in a relationship with, and I need to stop it. Now, who in the world would that be? What commandment? Jesus said, when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He gave two. And the second one is in second place. Right? If I'm in a relationship with somebody that affects my relationship with God, and causes me to be farther away from God rather than closer to God, if I can't fix it, I need to stop it. If I can't fix it, I need to stop it. If anybody in any kind of relationship draws me farther away from God, I need to do something about that. Because the first commandment is more important than the second commandment. The first commandment is more important than the second commandment. The first commandment is more important than the second commandment. And I don't need to be involved with somebody that's going to draw me away from God. And sometimes that gets complicated because it's husband or wife or parent or child. That really gets complicated because you've made commitments that Mike talked about doing devotion. Really gets complicated. But there's nothing more important than your relationship with God. Nothing. And anything that gets in the way of that, you need to stop it. Other than that, the second most important thing is your relationship with people. And we need to work on improving our relationship with people. I have a tendency to be a loner. I'm happy by myself. It's okay. I just stay in my office and read my books and do all my stuff all day long by myself. Don't bother me at all. I know people who go crazy if you try to get them 15 minutes away from people. They got to be with somebody all the time. You know, any of you had the kids? You going to carry your kids on vacation? Can I carry my friend with me? Any of you not careful, you got three friends going with you on vacation. Because they like people. So, but all of us, whatever our personality, whatever our natural talents are, whatever our natural leaning is, we need to develop relationship with people, because Jesus said the second greatest commandment is to love our neighbors, ourselves. The golden rule is to treat other people the way I want to be treated. I should never, ever try to repay evil with evil, but what should I do? I should seek good for them and for all people. Your relationship with people is important. In fact, as far as Jesus is concerned, it's the second most important thing in your life, your relationship with people. Is there somebody you need to develop a relationship with? Is there somebody you need to repair a relationship that you used to have that's broken? Is there somebody you need to just improve it? You have a relationship, but it's not very deep. You need to improve it. Or is there a relationship you need to sever? You need to cut it off, because it's drawing you farther and farther away from God.